Jesus met the woman by the well in Samaria. He took the drawing of water and used it to teach a valuable lesson about serving the Lord and about dependence upon God. He took the actions of a farmer and used them to teach about the hearts of man and about the spreading of the gospel. My wife mentioned to me earlier this past, or about the middle of this past week, that stamps are going up. That's something that interests her and her mom, and so they keep track of that sort of thing. When she mentioned that, I recalled I had an outline I've used once in the past from a fellow named Jim Sasser. He developed back in the late 70s that uses a postage stamp to teach some lessons about serving God, about our responsibilities to God. And as I was thinking about that and considering, and it's that outline we're going to look at this morning, look at some lessons from a postage stamp, one of the things that came to mind as I was thinking about that is we emphasize that we need to have the Word of God before us always. We need to meditate on God's Word. We need to think about God's Word. And as I considered this lesson, and I thought, you know, when I put that up there and say postage stamps lessons, there's going to be some folks like maybe Brenda back there on the back seat going to say, what in the world can he teach us about God from a postage stamp? Maybe she didn't use those words, but something like that went through her mind. Some of you as well, probably. In fact, I thought the same thing when I first looked at the title of this outline that I got in email a couple of decades ago, I guess. But if we've got God's Word in front of us, always, if we're meditating on the Word of God, I believe that from time to time, maybe not everything we see, from time to time we're going to look at something and say, that reminds me of what Jesus said or what Paul said. There are some things that we can see in the postage stamp that are going to remind us or can remind us. I'm not going to say when you look at the letter that comes in the mail tomorrow morning, you're going to remember these things about that postage stamp. But there are some things that we can learn that we can be prompted by the visual attributes of this postage stamp. Jesus used a lot of parables to teach and illustrations. And maybe if nothing else, the fact that I used a postage stamp to teach these lessons will make it stand out in your mind a little bit and call these thoughts to mind a little more. Maybe you can use them to talk to somebody else about these things as well. And one of the first things that we might notice when we think about the postage stamp is it teaches us a lesson about creation. What in the world do you mean, Dan? Well, did that postage stamp just suddenly show up? Is there anybody that would tell you and honestly believe that it just happened out of nothing? No. Like so many other things in this world, it is evidence that there was, as we've heard before, some intelligent forethought, some intelligent design behind that postage stamp. Now, I don't know anything about creating art. I'm not an artist. There's some folks here that might know a little bit about art, and they can talk to you, but somebody had to design whatever picture's on there. And then somebody had to set up the printers and all of those sort of things so that they could print these things. I know these things are a lot easier than they used to. Dad's bulletin, it used to take him half a day just to get the stuff ready to print, and now I can have it printed in that length of time. So maybe not as much as before, but there's evidence of creation that this thing was made. Somebody thought through the process and designed and did it in order for it to exist. And we are created. The world was created. It did not just happen. Maybe a passage we don't often associate with this idea, Psalm 100 and verse 3. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We understand that things have to be made. Even The most liberal of scientists will tell you that every effect had to have a cause. They usually say every cause has an effect, but the reverse is true as well. You can't get something without something happening first. The Hebrew writer tells in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4, every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. So while we may not think of it, when we see the postage stamp on the letter that we get in the mail, if you still get letters in the mail, maybe all you get is bills in the mail. It's an evidence. It's a reminder of creation, or at least it can be. Something else that the visual side of a postage stamp might impress upon us is that it bears an image of significance. Now, the original outline that I got this from said an image of dignity. I've seen some of the postage stamps that are offered nowadays. I'm not going to say it's an image of dignity, but it's an image of significance. It matters. To some people it matters, whatever image is, matters more than others. As I was looking for images to use in this slideshow, I saw a stamp that had a 66 Chevelle SS. And it was the right size. That might be too much of a distraction for some of you visual folks or myself. But that's an image of significance to me. Presidents, you see stamps of flowers. And my mother-in-law's probably had some of them. But the point is, it's an image of significance. And you see those scriptures that are on the screen. You know what those scriptures tell us. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. We're made in the image of God. Now, so let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And gave him rule over all the things of the earth. And in the latter part of that passage, created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female created he them. And then in chapter 2 and verse 7, the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We bear the image of God. We bear an image of significance. We are in his likeness. We are alive because of him. We have reasoning and thinking ability. We talked about the heart just last Sunday, or Sunday before last, and how the heart is the reasoning ability. Mark chapter 2 and verse 8 is one of the passages we looked at. Why are you reasoning about these things in our hearts? We're able to do that because we're in the image of God. We can think things through. Just seeing that stamp, we can look at it and we can see a lesson about a significant image, the image of God, we bear within ourselves. We ought to bear it in the way we conduct ourselves. When people see us, what do they see? Do they see God living in us? Do they see Christ shining through my outward presence? Am I bearing that image of dignity or of significance? Another thing we might note by looking at a stamp, just from envisioning and where it's at, we can learn a little bit about authority. Stamps are governed and controlled by the authority of our government. They regulate the use of stamps. If you've got some stamps that say 47 cents, don't try to put them on your letter tomorrow morning, because they won't be enough. Because they've changed the rules. They've regulated it. I think it's 49 cents now. You have to put a stamp on in a certain way. In fact, if you read some of that stuff on the internet, if you put a flag stamp on upside down, it indicates distress. If you put a stamp on upside down, it indicates distress or something sometimes to some people. But you know, we learned in school the stamp doesn't go down in the bottom left-hand corner or the top left-hand corner. It goes up in the top right-hand corner. It's where it's supposed to be. There's rules and regulations. If you look at images of stamps, especially electronic images. You will notice, especially you go on the post office, go to the post office site and look at stamps. Every time you see the word forever in a stamp, it'll have a line through it. Because it mars that image, so you can't print it out and make your own stamps. Because only the federal government can issue stamps, or only the post office, under the authority of the federal government. It's regulated and ruled by the authority of the government. And we ought to be ruled and regulated by the authority of God. Jesus told his apostles, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And he said, "Go out and teach others so that they might become disciples. And then teach them to observe all that I command." The Hebrew writer tells us that Jesus has become to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. You know, we hear from a lot of people today that Jesus is the source of eternal salvation to everyone. And to a degree, they're right. He did die for everyone. But only those who are willing to submit in obedience under His authority are able to receive that salvation. If we ignore divine law, if we rebel against God, as Paul told the Thessalonian brethren in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, while he gives relief to those who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Authority. We must submit to authority. Another lesson we notice from just the visual aspects of the postage stamp is, and maybe it's not as much anymore, but used to when you got a stamp that had those ragged edges all around it. You still got them on some of them. They're not quite as ragged anymore. But you know, while those ragged edges have a purpose in regards to a stamp that holds them together on the sheet, for one thing, they really don't get in the way of it doing its job. It doesn't get in the way of it accomplishing its purpose. And there's a lesson for us in that as well. I suspect if we are honest with ourselves, every single one of us has a few ragged edges in our life. Maybe they're physical attributes that aren't so well. Maybe you still have hair on your head instead of already being bald. Maybe you're short. Maybe you're tall. Maybe, like my grandmother, one leg's longer than the other. There's all kinds of physical attributes that might affect us that we might, at least in ourselves, we might look upon as ragged edges. But they don't keep us from serving God. They don't keep us from doing the will of God and doing what He would have us to do. In fact, the Apostle Paul said Jesus gave him a thorn in the flesh to keep him in check. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning about verse 7, "Therefore there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." But notice what he says. The Lord told him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." You know what Paul did? He took that ragged edge and used the Word of God, and it turned to a benefit to him. He looked at it, and the Lord informed me that this is actually a plus, even though it seems to be a minus, because it makes me stronger. "Therefore, I'm well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Sometimes it's the very things that make us seem weak or ragged that strengthen us. By working to overcome those things, we strengthen ourselves. And certainly we recognize there can be spiritual ragged edges Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren and talked about who they had been, but they had been washed and cleaned by the will of God. They'd overcome those things. They weren't keeping them from serving the Lord anymore, even though they had in the past. Why? Because they had changed. They'd put them behind. When Paul writes to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about the various members of the body and the honorable and the unhonorable, and how sometimes we can look and say, I don't have any use for you. You're not able to do the things that I think you ought to be able to do, and therefore you're not of any use to me. But Paul says, on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. It doesn't matter what our weaknesses and strengths may be, as long as we use the things God has given us to serve Him. As long as we stay put in our task. But, you know, beyond just the physical things that we might see in looking at a postage stamp, there are some attributes that are shown forth that I think maybe are even more important for us to learn the lessons of. And once again, I'm not up here telling you that every time you look at a postage stamp, you're going to think all of these things. Maybe you will for the next day or two. Maybe sometime 6 months down the road, you'll have a random thought and remember some of these things. But if we have the Word of God dwelling within us, and if we're thinking and meditating on God's Word, we're going to see God's Word in the things we interact with each and every day. We're going to see the creation of life and the plants that grow in the spring. Or maybe the effects of spreading the gospel in the plants that grow up in the spring from the seeds that we plant. And what we might see when we consider this attribute of the postage stamp is it is of no use. It gives you no benefit whatsoever until you stick it on a letter. You can have postage stamps stuffed in every drawer of your house, but they won't do you any good at all until you put them on a letter. Yes, I thought of your mom when I thought about that point, Brenda. I started to say my mother-in-law's probably got them stacked there. My wife says, no, she doesn't leave them laying around that long. You've got to put them on a letter for them to be of any use. Paul, in order to be useful to the Lord, had to be put to work for the Lord. Now, one of the things that we notice when we look at the life of Paul is he first had to be emptied before he could become that chosen vessel. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 10, we're told to be careful about how we put ourselves to use, because it tells us, when we're invited, go and recline at the last place, so that then the one that has invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. But really, the point we want to get about the usefulness of a stamp and apply that to us is we've got to work if we're going to be any good to the Lord. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 24 emphasizes this as well as any passage. Jesus said to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he's the one that will save it. Now, in line with some of the ragged edge thoughts, if you think back long enough, stamps used to have to be licked before you could put them to use. And we could stretch an analogy there a little bit and talk about how we need to be licked. We need to be beat down sometimes, maybe even just a little bit, before we realize who we are and where we are in the scheme of things and are willing to put ourselves to use for the Lord. We've got to lose ourselves if we want to be of usefulness and helpfulness to the Lord. We need to recognize that the hardships and the difficulties of this life are there to help us to grow, to allow us to strengthen and increase. Paul told Timothy, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Then he says, "Suffer hardship with me." As a good soldier of Christ Jesus, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. If anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Unless we get to work, we're not any good. You may have paid your $49 for that roll of 100 stamps, but the only one that's doing you any good is the one you stuck on the letter and put in the mailbox that you put to use. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 12 to consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You've not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you've forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you're reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? We need to be put to use for the Lord in order to be a benefit in his service. We need to recognize that some of the very steps that may lead us to being stronger Christians may cause us to stumble when we first run up on them. James says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And to switch images here for a minute, I had this thought while I was thinking about this point here and what James has to say. We've got steps leading up from our library area, what we call the library of the house, into the main part of the house. There's one step that's about that tall. I've been going up and down those steps for about 4.5 years now. And the other day I went down those steps and I skipped that bottom step and almost stumbled and fell. Good thing there was a wall right there in front of me. But those same steps are absolutely essential for me to get into that part of the house or out of that part of the house in an easy manner. I could climb up a rope, I guess, or jump. It's not that far. But see, those very same steps that help me to get up, that one little step that helps me to make the next step easier, sometimes I trip over it. The struggles and difficulties we have in this life may be the very things that are strengthening us so that we can better handle those things later. We need to be put to use for the Lord. That means we're going to have to suffer. We're going to have to endure. We're going to have to work. It may mean hardship, but it'll ultimately mean benefit. Another lesson that we learn from the attributes of a postage stamp is that they vary in value, but each one has a responsibility to do its job. A 1 cent stamp works just as hard to accomplish its purpose as a 49 cent stamp, as a forever stamp, as a $24 stamp for overnight postage, or whatever it may be. And a 1 cent stamp is not expected to carry an overnight letter. It's expected to be supported by other stamps to accomplish its goal. we each have varied talents. We won't go read from the parable of the talents. I keep making reference to this. I'm going to have to do a sermon completely on the parable of the talents one of these days. So we go over there and we read that and we remind ourselves of all those things. Because I keep referencing it there in Matthew chapter 25. But the lesson there is clear, and we all understand it, that we each vary in our abilities and our talents, but we need to use the talent we've been given in serving the Lord. In Mark chapter 14, verse 3 through 9, they have the story of the woman from Bethany that came with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard. She broke the vial and poured it over the head of Christ, anointing him. And many were complaining because she did what she did, and she could have done something so much better if she'd have done this. And Jesus said she's done what she could. She took what she had and she did what she could with it. And at the end of that passage, he says she'll be remembered for this wherever the gospel is preached. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 41, Jesus said, "Whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward." We sing a song, "I travel down a lonely road and no one seems to hear, burden on my weary back." Somewhere in there it says, "I'll do great and wonderful things for you." And then Jesus says, "If I just give you a cup of water, that's what I want you to deal with." We need to do what we can with what we've got. We're all different values. But every one of us is just as valuable in the sight of God as the other for His service. We need to accomplish what we've been given to do. Another thing in regards to value that we might think of is that they cooperate together. Have you ever seen a postman try to gather up enough stamps to pay the postage for an overnight letter? We did some dealing on a vehicle purchase, and I got the tags here and had to send them to Isaac, and he needed to send tags back to Jeff in Georgia, and we wanted to get it done quickly, so I paid for overnight shipping all the way. One of them, he had the 23-point-something-whatever stamp to put on there because he printed it out, but the other one, he needed to put the postage on there before we sent it because I wanted it already paid when it got to Isaac. All he had to do was just put it in the box and, you know, close it up and take it to the post office. But they didn't have any of the 23-point-something-or-other stamps, or 22, whatever it was at the time. So he had to go rummaging through his drawers and find a whole bunch of different stamps. And the whole time I was doing this lesson, thinking about this point, man, why didn't I take a picture of all them stamps? That'd be a perfect illustration of stamps cooperating together. He got stamps scattered all across the top of that thing. Now, the one I sent down to Isaac in Beaumont had one little white thing with the black lettering on it like they do at the post office. It got there. The one that Isaac sent to Georgia had all those stamps scattered on it, and both of them accomplished the same purpose. Why? Because those stamps cooperated together to achieve the goal. Remember I mentioned just a moment ago that sometimes, in fact, in almost all instances now, that 1 cent stamp can't work by itself. It needs somebody else to support it and help it. We need to cooperate together with one another. Working together with Him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain, Paul told the Corinthian brethren. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, not that we would all be independent and alone and we would work by ourselves and do great when we're alone. No, He said, I want them all to be one in me as I am in you. Everybody working together for the common good of the cause of Christ. I exhort you, brethren, Paul told the Corinthian brethren, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. He rebuked them for some of them following after Apollos and some after Paul and some after Cephas and some after Christ. He said, we're all working together for God. Neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one. But each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. We need to work together. We also need to recognize that We have to work wherever we're put. You can put a postage stamp on a big long envelope or a little short envelope. You can put it on a greeting card envelope, on a postage card. You can mail bills with it. You can mail advertisements with it. You can mail love letters. You can mail hate letters. I don't know why you want to do that, but you can. You can send out Dear Johns, Dear James. You can send packages, all using that same postage stamp, as long as the right ones are working together to accomplish that purpose. We need to recognize as Christians and as those that belong to the Lord that there is no job that is too large or too small as long as we're doing it for God. And sometimes it's the smallest of jobs that have the biggest impact. We need to develop the attitude that Jesus expressed of a bondservant when he left heaven and came down here to earth to serve us. He humbled himself, Paul told the Philippian brethren. We need to have that attitude, that mind, in regards to our own activity. And Paul wrote to the Roman brethren in 1st chapter, verse 14, I'm under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know that sentiment's expressed in the song we sang right before the sermon? The gospel is for all. Say not the heathen are at home and beyond, they have no charge or no call. The gospel needs to be spread to everyone. Now, that song is focusing on foreign missionaries, in case you had never noticed it before. But the same sentiment can be said about our own little town. It's not just the people that live around Tanner Street that need to hear the gospel. It's not just the people that live over there on Nick Road or Military Road or off of Military Road or across the highway over there or down at Social Hill or out Dyer Street or over by the schools, or in Arkadelphia, or outside of Arkadelphia, or in Magnet Cove, or in the boonies outside of Magnet Cove. Everybody needs to hear the gospel. And whatever job we're given in regards to preaching the Word of God, we need to do that to the best of our ability, using what we've been given to fulfill our purpose. Finally, I know some are saying, oh wow, it's about time. Finally, another lesson we learn from postage stamps is they have to be purchased in order to be put to work. We were bought for the price. In Acts 20, verse 38, the Apostle Paul references the church of God as he talks to the elders there at Ephesus. They're on the island of Miletus, but he speaks of the church of God which was purchased with his own blood. He told the Corinthian brethren, you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. We were paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But also, if you notice that letter when it comes to you, that stamp that was nice and pretty and clean, when somebody put it on the letter, it's got some little wavy lines in it when it gets to you, because it's been canceled out. And there's a sense in which we understand we need to be canceled out. We need to put to death who we were so we can become who God wants us to be. We've got to get rid of our old life so that we can serve the Lord. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name. Repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. We've got to get rid of all of that. Put it behind us. Never to be used again. And then we need to stick to the job we've been given. Stamp falls off. Letter won't get where it's supposed to go. We need to stick to our job. As I was doing some reading yesterday afternoon, read a little bit about stamps on a website I was on, and some of these new stamps are coming out with some special adhesive that can be taken off just with water. After it's canceled or been mailed, stamp collectors can get them off of the envelope so they can save them. And I got to tell you, isn't that going to interfere with the job of the stamp? If it gets wet, could that stamp come off and not stick to its job? Don't we run into many things that might hinder us and get in the way of us sticking to our job? And we need to be wary of those things. There are some things that we know give us trouble, and we need to watch out for it. I hope the mailman's watching out. We're going to be hated by all because of His name, but it's the one who endures to the end that will be saved. And that brings us to the passage that Brother Bill read for us this morning in Romans chapter 2. In the end of time, when the judgment of God comes about, He will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Those who are selfishly ambitious do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, also of the Greek, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There's no partiality with God. You know what matters? Whether we stick to the business of serving Him and doing His will. If we turn away from it, if we fall down on our job, we lose the reward. We don't accomplish the goal. Be faithful till death, and I'll give you the crown of life. The one who endures to the end, he will be saved. I like how the Apostle Paul renders it when he speaks to the brethren in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Stick to it. Steady and firm. Do your job. Are these some sort of amazing revelation, some sort of lesson that you're going to see every time you see a postage stamp? Probably not. Some of us will think about them a time or two when we spot it over the next couple of weeks. We'll remember one of these points. Oh yeah, Dan mentioned that. Or I heard that. This is eventually how it'll come about in our mind, maybe. That reminds me. But they are lessons that we need to know. We need to keep in mind. And I'm convinced that the more we keep the Word of God in our hearts, the more we think about God's Word and His plan for us and the expression of His love and His care and concern for us that He shows throughout His will, the more we're going to see in the everyday things that we come in contact with lessons from that Word of God. We may walk up to the well and go to draw water out and think about the water of life that is freely given unto men so that they might no longer thirst. Or we'll look out at that fresh field of soil and we go to put our garden in and we go to throw those seeds out and we're going to remember about the sowing of the seed of the gospel and how the preparation of the heart is what makes the difference oftentimes in how it grows. I think it's important for us to see the lessons of God in life. If you see them in a postage stamp, fantastic. Great. But more important than that, I hope it causes you to make changes in your life. To recognize the lessons that are taught here. Our need to stick to the will of the Lord and be obedient to Him. Our recognition that we came from Him, He bought us, and we belong to Him.
we want to be in heaven, we're going to have to serve Him continually in this life. If you look this morning and you find you're straight from that, you allow the difficulties or struggles of life to cause you to stumble in your service to the Lord, we encourage you to correct it. You've never given yourself over to the Lord in obedience, and while Jesus has paid the price, you've not taken advantage of the offer. You need to submit yourself to His will in obedience. Confess your sins to God, confess your belief in Christ, and turn from your wrongdoings. Be buried in baptism so you might have your sins washed away. Cancel out, put to death the old man, so you can rise up a new man, a child of God. Congregation can assist you in that. We encourage you to come and let your desire be known while we stand and sing.